and welcome to Christ Church, Sedley Park in Birmingham for our service today. It's lovely that you've been able to join us here today, and such a shame that I'm gathering in an empty church but talking to a camera. I hope the service will have some meaning for you. Today is the first Sunday of Advent. I do want to just tell you what the children will be up to today. Normally, we would be getting a child to light our candle, but obviously, under COVID, they can't be here with us. So what the leaders of the children's groups have done is they've given them each a little box with four gifts in them, one for each Sunday of Advent. And the gift today was a candle. And I hope the children have lit those already by the time this goes out. And each week through Advent, we'll be saying this prayer. God of light and love, look upon us in love and fill us with the Spirit of Jesus, that we may love you and serve you in your kingdom. Protect us during this week and keep us watchful in prayer as we await the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, who is the light of the world, and who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, for ever and ever. Amen. Well, it's the last of our current series, a series called The Church in COVID Times. And today's theme is Ambassadors of God. So let's pray for ourselves as we meet with God this morning and as we listen to his word, both read to us and expounded for us. Lord God, it's a bit odd for us meeting like this. Please help us all to feel part of this morning's service, wherever and whenever we join it. Make us more than spectators, make us participants. As we listen, make us more than an audience. Draw us into fellowship. Time and place may not seem such a big deal to you, but it kind of matters to us. The only way we know to touch you is in embracing one in whom you live. The only way we have to feel your embrace is in that of a brother or sister. Make this next half hour or so special. It's the start of the season when we celebrate your physical arrival among us. Oh, how we envy your disciples then, who could sit at a meal in a room with you. We can't even sit at a meal with each other. Lord God, fill this time of reflection with the precious, binding love of your Holy Spirit. Amen.
The reading is taken from 2 Corinthians chapter 5, awaiting the new body. For we know that if the earthly tent we live in is destroyed, we have a building from God, an eternal house in heaven, not built by human hands. Meanwhile, we groan, longing to be clothed instead with our heavenly dwelling, because when we are clothed, we will not be found naked. For while we are in this tent, we groan and are burdened, because we do not wish to be unclothed, but to be clothed instead with our heavenly dwelling, so that what is mortal may be swallowed up by life. Now the one who has fashioned us for this very purpose is God, who has given us the Spirit as a deposit, guaranteeing what is to come. Therefore, we are always confident and know that as long as we are at home in the body, we are away from the Lord. For we live by faith, not by sight. We are confident, I say, and would prefer to be away from the body and at home with the Lord. So we make it our goal to please him, whether we are at home in the body or away from it. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, so that each of us may receive what is due to us for the things done while in the body, whether good or bad. The Ministry of Reconciliation. Since then we know what it is to fear the Lord, we try to persuade others. What we are is plain to God, and I hope it is also plain to your conscience. We are not trying to commend ourselves to you again, but are giving you an opportunity to take pride in us, so that you can answer those who take pride in what is seen rather than in what is in the heart. If we are out of our mind, as some say, it is for God. If we are in our right mind, it is for you. For Christ's love compels us, because we are convinced that one died for all, and therefore all died. And he died for all, that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and was raised again. So from now on, we regard no one from a worldly point of view. Though we once regarded Christ in this way, we do so no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old has gone, the new is here. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting people's sins against them. And he has committed to us the message of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Hello. Today we come to the last in our series exploring what church is when it isn't what we're used to. We hope we've given you food for thought. Today our topic is ambassadors for Christ, a phrase that came towards the end of our reading from 2 Corinthians chapter 5. I don't know about you, but when I hear the word ambassador, my mind immediately conjures up a picture of extravagant party, posh frocks and trays bearing pyramids of spherical gold-wrapped chocolates. I don't think that's what Paul had in mind, but then he hadn't seen the advert. Paul would have known about ambassadors or representatives, though. He lived in a country under Roman rule. There would have been many ambassadors extolling the virtues of Roman civilization to the citizens of Jerusalem. Perhaps even a few good ambassadors, as well as some not so good ones. But then I guess that's true for us. We're all called to be ambassadors. The question is, are we good ones or not so good? So what is a good ambassador? Well, before I continue, please forgive me if I stretch the metaphor beyond Paul's experience of an ambassador. Having said that, I don't think I'm going beyond what the Bible teaches. Firstly, a good ambassador knows where home is. An ambassador lives in a country that is not their own. They live by the rules of their own country, whilst trying not to break the rules or cause offence where it is that they've been sent. They bring many aspects of their home culture and customs with them. The passage began with Paul talking about our earthly tent and our eternal house in heaven. Our earthly tent, or our earthly body, is temporary, like an ambassadorial posting, perhaps. But our house, our home in heaven, our future body, is eternal and permanent. Paul wrote to the church in Philippi, but our citizenship is in heaven, and we eagerly await a saviour from there, the Lord Jesus Christ, who by the power that enables him to bring everything under his control will transform our lowly bodies so they will be like his glorious body. What an appropriate thought on the first Sunday of Advent, a traditional time of waiting. As we wait to celebrate the birth of our Saviour, we're also waiting for Jesus to come again and take us home. I really liked this quote I came across from Paul Barnett. He writes, "To our minds, this present existence is solid and real, whereas our coming existence seems shadowy and insubstantial." Paul teaches us that the reverse is true. The life which is to come is strong, permanent and real. The present life is lived among the shadows. Peter, in his letter, encourages us to live as foreigners and exiles, living according to God's ways, so that those who don't know God see him in us. Wherever we are, whatever we are doing, we are citizens of heaven and therefore called to live by the values of the kingdom of heaven. Which brings me to my second point. A good ambassador knows all about their home country and how things work, and they keep up to date. I don't know about you, but I would have found the current restrictions on seeing people unbearable without video calls. And I guess nowadays, ambassadors would have very immediate contact with the powers at home. But imagine being an ambassador in a far-flung country before video calls, before email, before telephone calls, before airmail even, a very occasional missive coming by boat. How long would it take to get a question answered? The ambassador needed to be very familiar with the laws and the priorities of their country. They needed to know what was expected of them in their duties. As Christ's ambassadors, we are called to actively live as Christ would have us live. And we need to know what that means. We need to know his ways in order to do that. And so we need to invest time in getting to know God better, allowing his word to shape us and renew our minds. And even when we've been Christians for a long time, and I know this from my own experience, it's easy to begin to reshape God in our own image and make him who we would like him to be rather than who he really is. Part of the reason for Paul's letter to the church in Corinth was to counteract some false teaching that they had taken on board, things that they were getting wrong. And thirdly, a good ambassador is an advocate of their home country. They speak of its benefits. They're proud to belong to it. They want others to appreciate it. They work for good relationships between countries and seek reconciliation where there is conflict. Christ's ambassadors go a step further and actually want people to emigrate, as it were, and become citizens of heaven. I don't know what motivates your average British ambassador, but according to this passage, two things motivate Christ's ambassadors to speak of the good news of Jesus. Verse 11, "Since then we know what it is to fear the Lord, we try to persuade others." We know that fear here isn't terror, but awe and respect. Verse 10 tells us that we will be called to account on Judgment Day for how we have done. Not judged regarding salvation, for those who have decided to follow Jesus, that's already sorted. But judged regarding how well we have lived out our lives of obedience to God. As one writer put it, we are saved not by good works, but for good works. Some of Paul's motivation for persuading people to be reconciled to God comes from a desire for God to be pleased with how he has lived, a desire to hear the words, "good and faithful servant," but also perhaps from a fear for those that he met and a desire that they wouldn't perish, but would be reconciled to God and receive salvation. Paul's second motivation is in verse 14. Christ's love compels us. Paul had been zealous in his persecution of Christians. Then he met Jesus on the road to Damascus and was convinced. He had experienced reconciliation and love in abundance, and he wanted others to be reconciled, to know forgiveness and to know love. He wanted them to experience new life, to be the new creation we heard in the passage. Paul knew what it was to be loved, and he knew how much God loved the world, enough to send his Son to save it. Paul really believed this and was determined that others would know it too, and he wasn't going to keep quiet. In a few weeks, we will remember the birth of Jesus. Let's also remember the reason that he came, to put us right with God, to bring forgiveness and hope, and to give us a new life, reborn as citizens of heaven. And so to summarise, we are citizens of heaven, living as Christ's ambassadors in the world. We need to know the ways of the kingdom so that we can live them out in our own lives. And we should be helping others to know about the kingdom of God, witnessing to the good news in words and in actions. And so, as members of Christ Church and citizens of heaven, what might Jesus be asking of us as his ambassadors this Christmas?
Let's pray. And once again, the Middle East is in the news for the wrong reasons. And we heard of the assassination of the Iranian scientist, and now Iran has promised revenge on Israel for his assassination. And I also heard this week about people in Beirut who the country is in such turmoil following the explosion in that city. They still haven't got homes, and obviously they've lost their livelihoods as well. Father God, we pray for that troubled part of the world, the Middle East. In a month's time, we're going to sing songs about Bethlehem, about Jerusalem, about Israel. And we pray that leaders would move us towards peace and reconciliation. Lord God, we pray for the people of Beirut, for the world community, as it considers how to put support and aid into that city. And we pray that that will be done in a way that's wise, thoughtful, and will be effective in the long run. Amen. And then I think of our own country. And the news last week that we can't even manage 0.7% of GDP as foreign aid, but we're going to cut it just when overseas countries are at their most desperate. Father God, I pray for the elected leaders of this country, that they will find the words and the way to explain what is fair and what is just. And Father, we pray about our country as it faces the effects of the COVID crisis. Thank you, first of all, for all the scientists and medics who've been involved in developing vaccines. Thank you for those who've volunteered to be in the trials for those vaccines. And thank you that progress seems to be so excellent. We pray for all those who have to make the very tricky decision that may be facing us. Do the rich get the best vaccine and the poorer nations of the world get the cheaper, less effective one? How on earth will that conundrum be solved? Amen. And then I think of our own church. A number of our church members are recovering from operations or for hospital treatment, and those recoveries seem to be going well. Father God, we thank you for the successful operations and treatment for a few of our brothers and sisters. And I think particularly of one sister who's got an MRI scan on Sunday. So that's today if you're listening to this as its first broadcast. And we pray that that scan will go well. Father God, I pray for those who are facing loneliness or a distance from their normal means of support. And I pray for those who take on the role of supporting and encouraging and communicating with those people who are in these situations and who are finding loneliness and disconnection a challenge. Thank you for the wonderful pastoral team who've continued their work, and we pray for them that you will give them strength and the love of your Holy Spirit to reach out to our brothers and sisters in this fellowship. Amen. And I thank you for the memorial service organised through our church, and thank you for the many people who found that a comfort, really quite a striking number who've expressed that. Bless them in their grief. And I pray for those who have experienced bereavement following a time when actually they didn't have proper contact with the person they now mourn, and those who have had to arrange funerals in ways that really would not have been their choice under other circumstances. Amen. Father God, I pray for those who have the responsibility to select the next minister for our church. And I pray for those who are even now considering putting themselves forward for that post. We pray for all those people and for the team whose job it is to make the choice. We pray that all of those people, as they desperately try and listen to your guidance, we pray for them that they would see your will, would discern what's right for our church. Amen. We pray for Birmingham City Mission, for their outreach into schools, and we pray for our sister who is involved in that work, that you will encourage her and help her to prepare lively, stimulating and grace-filled assemblies for those children. And we pray for the work that the Birmingham City Mission does each year. We pray for them as they distribute toys to children who wouldn't otherwise get very special gifts at Christmas. Amen.
Let's finish our time of prayer with the Lord's Prayer, knowing that our brothers and sisters across the world will be saying this prayer with us. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen.
That brings us pretty much to the end of this morning's service. Let's say a final prayer. Thank you, Father God, that you call us your children. We want to make you proud. We want to represent you in the world as trustworthy ambassadors. Give us the strength to live lives that draw others to the kingdom that is our eternal home. We ask this in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.